Hi everyone, this is Nathan Agin, and thanks so much for joining us for this Healthy Travel Q&A. I have Gregory Berg on the line with me. Greg, thank you so much for being here.
Hey Nathan, good to talk to you again today.
Yeah, and as many of you know, Greg runs Enso Radio, and he's interviewed many of the people who were at the World Domination Summit last year, and both of us are going to be returning this year, and yeah, I just thought, well, you know, it would be a great opportunity to kind of share some resources and ask some questions. It's a lot of fun to talk about how do you stay healthy as you travel. And this is something I continue to learn as I've been traveling the last almost couple of years now. So just, you know, and there's so much we can talk about. So excited to dive in and cover as much as we can, you know, during this time. So yeah, Greg, is there anything, you know, well, actually, Greg, why don't you just take a second and fill the listeners in a little bit more about what you're up to and your involvement in WDS?
Oh, well, thanks, Nathan. Yeah, so I'll be presenting at WDS this year, and it ties in with one of my big life projects right now. It's called Radio Enso, and it's a one-hour weekly talk show. It's conversations, I call it, about conscious living, and that just basically entails anybody doing something that's a bit out of the norm, living their life, whether it's a career choice or the way that they move about in the world, how to be happy, just anything that's sort of living consciously, living in a way that you're intentionally trying to better your life or your career situation or your, you know, your world in any way that entails, and that's a pretty wide-ranging net. And so we, RadioEnso.com, you find all the details about what the show is all about. And now an entire year backlog of episodes. The show airs live on Monday nights from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific time. That's 9 to 10 Eastern time. But it's fun to have conversations with people who are doing a really wild range of things out there in the world. And it's been a tremendous blessing for me. It's a tremendous opportunity to connect with people doing amazing things. And a good chunk of those, as you mentioned, are WDSers. And it was a tremendous to meet them, some of them in person, met many more of them in the past year since WDS, and really looking forward to hanging out with all of them and meeting them in person and seeing so many more people, with 1,000-plus people that are going to be at WDS this year. So.
Very cool.
But
and yeah,
as you mentioned, Nathan, though, it's very overwhelming. It's you know, how to stay healthy. This is a major question.
Absolutely, and it's really you know, it encompasses so much, not just you know, what are you eating or how are you exercising, but you know, interactions and you know, sleep and connections and all this stuff that goes into, you know, how do you take yourself out of your normal environment, where, you know, when you're at home, you know where everything is, you know what grocery stores you go to, you know what, you know how you get your exercise and all this stuff. But, you know, how do you then take that on the road with you? So,
yeah.
It's a very, I don't like to say that it's difficult. What I like to say is that it's just a challenge, you know, and that for me is the fun, is what's going to be the new adventure today. How am I going to, you know, find the resources, or how am I going to pull things off today so that I'm still feeling really healthy? Because when you travel, it is really about being flexible, more than anything. You know, it's identifying, you know, what is it that I know when I do these things, I have my greatest days? You know, what are the things that really keep me going, really keep me healthy, keep me feeling alive, keep me engaged and passionate and all that good stuff? And then when you're on the road, you know, how can you either do those, you know, the same way that you would at home, or just find little ways to modify them so that you don't just go down that slippery slope of, well, you know, since I'm traveling, I can't eat what I normally do, or you know, I guess I can't exercise or meditate or any of that stuff.
Right. So, Nathan, why don't you tell people, you know, why you might be somebody who has some experience in talking about this thing, kind of what you do and your expertise and your field of knowledge. Tell people a little bit about yourself and how it pertains to what we're going to talk about in this hour.
Absolutely. Thanks, Greg. So I have been on the road about 20 months now. I had been living in Los Angeles for about 11 years, and through a number of different reasons, decided to kind of close that chapter and wanted to, you know, sell everything and convert my life to a backpack and started doing it. And, you know, around that time, I had become very, you know, I'd gotten a lot more interested in, you know, what am I eating and meditation and all this stuff. And it just started kept dominoing and building toward, you know, what kind of what I refer to as, you know, our practices in life. You know, what is it that you practice? Kind of like when you think of that phrase, you know, he has a law practice or she has a medicine, practices medicine, that kind of thing. You know, to think about it as, you know, practice as a noun, you know, what is your practice? And for me, it's all these practices of nutrition and movement and mindfulness and connection and all these things that I know that are very important and I need to keep up with if I'm going to, you know, be healthy as I travel, but also more importantly, kind of stay sane. Because if you travel for any length of time, whether it's just a weekend or long term, it can be very draining. It can be very challenging. And it's as much a mental game as it is a physical one. And so to do the things that are going to put you in the right mindset are really important. So, yeah, I mean, I've just, you know, over the last couple of years, you know, I've committed to meditation every day. I mean, I'm over like 750 days in a row on that. And that started from, you know, me trying to do 2 minutes of meditation, and it was absolute torture, and I couldn't wait for it to end. And now I'm doing 30 minutes every day, and I love it. It's absolutely one of the practices that, you know, makes me who I am and allows me to show up fully. And incorporating other things like, you know, journaling or, you know, knowing what certain foods to eat. You know, like I'm big on green smoothies and salads and all that stuff. And again, as I mentioned, you know, every day, you know, my salad isn't going to look the same. Or maybe some days I can only fit in 15 minutes of meditation. But it's really about making that commitment and just finding, you know, where are the places that I can plug that in. So, I could probably go on for another 10 minutes, but does that feel like it was a good amount?
That was. So, Nathan, I think a question that a lot of people would have, and I know that it pertains to me personally, is that when I'm home, I'm very much a creature of habit and routine. So though I do have healthy habits, they're generally in a very regular routine. So, you know, if I'm eating a certain way, you know, I'm going to the market, I'm buying certain foods. If I'm doing my yoga and meditation practice, it takes place on the same days at the same times. And I think for many people, that's the case. They have routines. But what happens is when we travel, we lose that routine. And it's, you know, sort of a crutch we have. So do you have any advice for people? You know, you're on the road suddenly, but you don't have that routine. What do you do instead?
Absolutely. Well, it's a great question, and it kicks up a couple ideas. First is that, you know, it's great to have structure in our life, but it's not about being rigidly inflexible. And I think it's very easy, though even unconscious sometimes, to become hyper-focused on, well, this is how I exercise. This is how I eat. And, you know, it's because I go to this gym or this yoga studio, that's how I get my exercise in. And when that's challenged, you know, kind of the initial reaction is, well, then I don't know how to exercise. And, you know, as we talk about it, obviously it sounds simple, but, or kind of silly, but really that's what's going on some level. So what it really is about is figuring out what are the kind of broader categories. You know, and, you know, let's pick one, like, for example, movement. You know, that's one of the kind of core fundamentals, I think, is movement. And it's, so it's really more about, okay, if you've identified that movement is important to you, and right now, Greg, you said, you know, you do yoga. Well, that's great. Now, when you travel, maybe you'll have the opportunity to jump into a yoga class, or maybe it's going to be on you to know that, like, okay, you know what, movement is one of my fundamentals. I have a commitment to this, a 100% commitment. And so maybe it's going to involve doing yoga in your hotel room where you're staying. Or maybe the movement for that day is going to be just taking a nice long walk, or a jog or a hike. You know, it's just finding ways that are going to satisfy that, that fundamental for you. So that, you know, just because you didn't practice, you know, yoga on Tuesday isn't the end of the world. You know, you got some form of exercise. Does that make sense? Does that resonate?
Absolutely, yeah. That makes perfect sense. Yeah, and I think that identification with the way that you do it versus what you're actually doing, I think that's how people definitely get hung up at times.
Yeah, it's...
You know, I eat healthy, but I eat healthy this way. Yeah,
right.
There are other ways to eat healthy.
And I think it was... I think I was at a talk where they were talking about, you know, form versus content. You know, the form, it's not about the form, it's the content. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, if you're doing, you know, if every morning you do downward dog at 8:15, it doesn't really matter. You know, it's like, it's great that that's what you're doing and you're keeping yourself active, but maybe one day you just want to get down and do a bunch of push-ups, or you want to go for a hike or a swim. Movement is really the kind of broader category that you just want to satisfy. So it's the same thing with nutrition. I've certainly experienced this as I go. Like I said, I really am into green smoothies, and that's really how I prefer to start the day. Now, I've been to plenty of places where, you know, I don't have a blender, I don't have a food processor, and, you know, I'm not going to, you know, try to, you know, recreate that with a knife and a cutting board. So it's more about, okay, well, today maybe I'll just have some fruit and some nuts, or I'll have something else. It's just giving myself some kind of a container, some guiding posts, so that I don't just wake up and be like, well, whatever's available, that's what I'm going to eat. A lot of what we're talking about, I think you'll appreciate, is just kind of planning ahead, just being a little conscious of, you know, what are going to be your choices, so that, you don't just show up and have to accept whatever's there. I was just talking to someone earlier who said, well, what happens when you go to the airport and, you know, you don't know what to eat? And it's like, well, first off, it's about not finding yourself in that situation, or doing the best you can to not find yourself in that situation where suddenly, you know, you're past security and you have to rely on what's there, you know.
Right, so it takes a little advanced planning then.
Yeah, exactly. And even, you know, even within that, it could be very simple. Like, let's say, you know, you just want to pack, you know, some nuts or some dried fruits. I have this small plastic container that, you know, closes and kind of watertight, and I'll make salads and throw that in there. And, you know, I took that on the plane. I was kind of worried that there was going to be a revolt because what I was eating probably looked better than what everyone else was being served. And the guy I was talking to had no idea you could bring a salad onto the plane. I was like, oh yeah, of course. You know, like, it's not liquid. It's not, you know, on the, it's not a weapon or of any means.
I didn't know you could bring a salad on a plane, to be honest.
Well, see, there you go. So it's like, you know, and maybe I also kind of operate from the, you know, cavalier standpoint of like, of course I can bring a salad on. Like, it never even occurred to me that I couldn't. But nobody stopped me. And of course, like, it makes sense. Like, why wouldn't you be able to bring food, you know, onto the plane and all that kind of stuff? So, you know, just doing a little bit of preparation. And a lot of people probably, you know, save money or nutritional reasons. You know, they might make their lunch at home if they're bringing it with them. And so it's the same thing, you know, just make your food before you go traveling. And, you know, based on, you know, what part of the day are you going to be out traveling or on the plane, and what, you know, how much might you need? You know, you don't have to bring a whole refrigerator with you, you know, wait, because it's certainly, you know, in the States, it's a lot easier, you know, and certainly going to a place like Portland where there, you know, is Whole Foods and Fred Meyer's and vegan restaurants. Like, there's tons of really great food choices available in the city. So it's not
right.
Like you're going, you know, out to this, you know, the backwoods or like, you know, some foreign country where, you know, the nearest food store is, you know, a seven mile walk. You know, we got a lot of options. So it's really about just, you know, what might I need, you know, and just going from there. You know, it might be just bringing an apple or, you know, bringing, like I said, some nuts or fruits or some, you know, vegetables like celery or what would be some other ones, a carrot, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I eat tomatoes like apples. They're great snacks, super juicy. And there was a time in my life where that was so bizarre to me. Of eating an apple, eating a tomato that way. But now it's just like, no, it's such a great treat.
Cool. So, Nathan, I think that's a good segue to another question that I have. Oftentimes people, when they travel, if they have dietary restrictions or they've created a particular diet for themselves over the course of years, sometimes, you know, there's this notion of, well, you know, I have like a free day or a free pass. You know, and so, well, it's going to be hard to find what I eat, or it's going to be hard to find healthy food. So I'll give myself a free day. And then the free day becomes free 3 days. And it's sort of this slippery slope psychologically. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, and you mentioned it perfectly. It's a slippery slope. And I, you know, at this point, I don't have any, you know, I'm not gluten sensitive or have celiac disease, but I have decided pretty much to kind of cut out grains from my diet. And I hover probably around like, you know, probably 95%, you know, every now and then I still enjoy pizza or burritos or things like that. But it's really to a minimum. So I can identify with that. And, you know, it's just, Here's a phrase to keep in mind. It's consistency over intensity. So, you know, if you want to go out and have something that you don't normally eat that isn't going to make you feel horrible, go for it. And here's the other part. Truly enjoy that meal. No, so like if you never eat chocolate cake and you see it on the menu and you're like, oh man, that's going to be great. When you have that, it's not about feeling guilty or kicking yourself for doing it or like, oh man, I never eat this and I shouldn't be eating this now. No, you know what? Eat it, enjoy it, and then just know that tomorrow you're going to go back to what you were doing. And it's there was something else that came up in there too. Well, you know, it's that difference between, you know, like what are the foods that, you know, really work for you, and then of course you can overdo it too. Like, you know, I had a pizza recently. I don't know why I did this. I mean, as I was doing it, I was like, Nathan, what are you doing? I used to, years ago, almost eat like an entire pizza by myself, which was ridiculous. And recently I was with someone and they ordered pizza and I was eating it and I kept eating it. And I was by all accounts full. And then I had two more pieces. And I think I had like six pieces when the night was done. And I was like, wow, that was silly. And I could feel the effects too. I was like, okay, that's a lot of food. And I think I'm off pizza for a little bit. You know, I've overdone it. But, you know, here was the thing I wanted to mention, you know, so consistency versus intensity. And there's kind of a couple ways to think about it. You know, there's like, I think it's called Pareto's principle, that 80-20 rule. You know, you can apply it to food. You know, 80% of the time, eat what you know, you know what is good for you and what works for you. And then 20% of the time, you know, eat, you know, make exceptions, add the other things. Or you can do the, you know, or kind of compromise, you know, a little bit. Or you can do even more 90-10. 90% of the time, eat what you know works for you. 10% of the time, eat whatever you feel like. You know, if that's, you know, grains or donuts or pizza or whatever it is you don't normally eat, if you want to eat that 10% of the time, great. But it's a, you know, it's about, you know, keeping it to 10% of the time. So it's really about, you know, just making personal commitments to yourself. And again, not being rigidly inflexible. You know, if you want to go out and treat yourself to a meal, it's cool. And it's just knowing, like, over time how that makes you feel. And kind of how you can think about it is like as a line, there's this, you know, from this point at the beginning of the line, there's when we are hungry. And then at the middle of the line is when we have a meal. Now, most people usually only focus on the beginning half of that line, from when they get hungry to when they eat. And once they're satiated, they don't think about it anymore. Now, the second half of that line is all about from when you eat to how you feel maybe 2 or 3 hours later. And I think a lot of people, myself included, for a long time, did not make that connection between, you know, what did I eat and how do I now feel? And what it's really about is creating this positive feedback loop from, you know, how do I, like, if I feel really radiantly alive and energetic, you know, let me think back, well, what did I have? You know, did I, what was I eating? Was it some fruit or a salad or, you know, smoothie or whatever it was? Okay, cool. Well, the next time I get hungry, I want my body to tell me, and I want my body to remember what I was eating so that I will go back and get that same food again. And that's, you know, and I, because I don't, you know, with food specifically or even any of the things I do, like any of the exercise or meditation or food, it's not that I'm like trying to create some kind of military structure in my life. It's because I know how these things contribute to my life. And I've seen that, and I've seen how I show up, how I feel. And because I'm excited by, you know, how I feel in these moments, it's like, yeah, I want to keep that going. I want to keep that sustained energy going. I mean, that's why, you know, I have the website, the name of it is Nonstop Awesomeness. You know, that was really what kind of codified this thing I was feeling a couple of years ago. Like, why, you know, how did my life get to this point where it's just really always at a very high level? And it was very different from, you know, 2-3 years ago where I was, you know, I was just in a very different place because I was not doing a lot of these things. And so now as, you know, as I've continued with these practices and I've seen, you know, the impact they've had on my life, that's why I keep doing it. It's not because I just want to be rigidly dogmatic and I want to follow something just for the sake of following it. I continue to make modifications. I'm like, well, how does this make me feel? Or how do, you know, what about this? Maybe this is a, you know, maybe this will be an even greater improvement. Or is this not working for me anymore? The question it really comes back to for me is this serving you? You know, how does this serve you? Because right. there might be something you've been doing for years that for a while was working great. And now all of a sudden you wake up and you're like, you know what? That's not serving me anymore. And it could be food, could be a relationship, could be work, could be, you know, exercise, anything like that. And so it's not about just setting something in motion and never thinking about it again. You always want to be conscious while you're practicing. It is just, you know, being able to, you know, pivot and flow and change and all that, because that's what life is. Life is just an ongoing, you know, back and forth and ebb and flow.
Right. So, Nathan, you mentioned, you know, paying attention to how your body feels, and you talked about it in the context of food, but I know that for me, when I travel, the biggest thing is sleep, especially going to a conference like this. It's very intense, and you've got a lot planned. You want to do a lot of things, you know, over the course of a very few short amount of days, and talk to me about the importance of sleep for people when they're in a situation like WDS or this conference.
Absolutely, and I think the natural inclination, and I certainly fell prey to this last year, is to want to do everything, to, you know.
Yeah, exactly. This is once a year. I got to fit it all in.
Go to every meetup, go out every night, you know, attend every talk and session and everything, you know. You just want to utilize every single moment, and you can certainly do that, and there are people that can do that and still feel fine. I'm not one of those people. I've found that I really do thrive on, you know, a good night's sleep. And now that, you know, I've certainly had nights where I haven't had a great night's sleep, and you need to adjust for that. But I mean, ideally, you know, adults, we want to be getting between 7 to 9 hours a night. And that may sound insane, but that's really what you want to aim for. You know, 7 to 9 hours of good, solid sleep time. I always carry around a couple things. I carry around an eye mask and earplugs. And I can't tell you how many times that has saved me, you know, because certainly as you travel, sometimes you have no idea what environment you're going into. You know, it's not going to be the quiet, dark space you're used to. So having those two things are great, super, you know, easy to pick up and inexpensive. And that's also listening to your body. You know, you may need to take a nap in the middle of the day. You know, you might need to miss a session or miss a meetup. And there's this energy, I continue to deal with this, of feeling like, but I'm going to miss the key. I'm going to miss you know, this person or something critical to my success, my journey.
Yeah, that special moment.
Exactly, and I think, you know, a lot of us who have wrestled with that realize, you know, there is no one moment. You know, life is just a series of, like, you know, it's a series of moments. So, and really, like, you know, would you be doing a disservice not only to you, but, you know, to whatever you're showing up to, if you're not able to show up 100%. You know, if you're in the chair in the audience listening to the speaker, and you start, you know, nodding off. Or whatever, you know, or you just, maybe you start to even get negative because, you know, you're getting cranky because you haven't had enough sleep or you haven't been eating well and all this kind of stuff. Like, all these things start to show up and they all start to crop up. And that's the other thing is, like, all these things are related, you know, like, you can't just, you know, only focus on your sleep. It's kind of the total picture, given whatever is important to you and whatever, you know, works for you. So, yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, absolutely, you got to get, you know, plenty of rest, you know, good quality rest as best you can, take naps throughout the day, and then, you know, even using, like, meditation as a form to recharge, or just to sit quietly with your eyes closed. Plenty of times I'll do, you know, like a 20-minute power nap, and I might be out at a park and just lie down on the grass. It's great. It's so refreshing. And the other thing is also paying attention, like, that we, you know, there are rhythms, natural rhythms to our energy. I mean, most, you know, many people might be familiar with the circadian rhythm, which is a 24-hour cycle. It's why, you know, we're kind of awake during the day and we sleep at night. But then within the day, within the 24 hours, there are ultradian rhythms where we kind of ebb and flow throughout the day. Maybe we'll have more, you know, you might notice you might have more energy in the morning, and then kind of, you know, late morning, you slow down a little bit, then you pick up in the afternoon and then slow down at night. You know, it ebbs and flows, like I said. And, you know, we're kind of designed to only focus for about 90 minutes to 2 hours max. And so it's also paying attention to that. It's realizing, like, okay, you know, if I've been, you know, intensely focusing on this session or this talk, and I might need to just pull myself out and go take a walk for 10 minutes.
Right.
I mean, I think, you know, certainly for people that work in offices, you know, and I did this for years, you know, you just kind of keep going for like 4 hours until you get to lunch. And that is, it's really unproductive and it's really unhealthy. You know, I mean, like, yes, you could probably get work done in that 4 hours, but, you know, what if we broke it up a little bit like that? So when I looked at the conference schedule, I saw it came out and it's like, okay, the day starts at 8:30. And we go till about 12:30, and then in the afternoon we have a couple 2-hour sessions, so, you know, that should be manageable. But in the morning, I was like, you know, I have a feeling they probably have some kind of short break in there, but it'll be up to me to figure out, am I going to need to take more breaks than that?
Right.
And then the other thing with conferences is you tend to do a lot of sitting. And, you know, for some of the breakout sessions, it might be different. Maybe they'll get people up, standing, interacting, and that's great. But it's paying attention to your body. I mean, like, you know, there was just this infographic I saw recently, like how sitting is killing us, and, you know, how it has so many physiological consequences to us sitting for long periods. And what I've been doing a lot lately is this kind of like indigenous person squat, where you see kids, like young kids, do this all the time, where if there's something on the ground that they want, they won't bend over at the hips. They'll squat down so that their butt is almost on the floor. Like that's how they pick things up. You know, it's such a natural movement. And you see it all over the world. You know, people, that's how they eat. That's how they wait. That's how they hang out. And so I try to incorporate that into my life a lot anyway. And what I've been doing sometimes recently is if I need to be in a chair, I'll put my feet up on the seat and kind of go into that position. So I'm not, you know, blocking anyone behind me, but I'm just not sitting. I'm not just, you know, stationary and letting everything kind of slow down and stop. So, you know, looking at how can you incorporate some little pieces of health into what you're doing? You know, if you need to carry around a little snack bag, you'll see me with mine, you know, throughout the conference day so that you know you have what you need. You do that. If you need to get up and stand in the back of the room during a session and, you know, do some stretches or do some yoga or jog in place or whatever, you know, doing it in a way that's not going to distract everyone, that's fine, you know, because, you know, you know you need to take care of yourself. So, and I know it's a little crazy to think about doing this, like, oh, geez, everyone's going to see me, you know, jogging in the corner, and I've certainly wrestled with that a lot. But it's kind of like that, you know, I remember as a kid, it's all about, you know, looking cool or making sure, like, you seem cool and you hang out with the cool kids. And I remember growing up in the East Coast, sometimes it's like, well, it wasn't cool to wear a winter hat or something like that. You know, it's like just that's what the cool kids,
earmuffs.
You know, they didn't have hats. Exactly. And so, but it was one of those things of like, well, are the cool kids going to, like, take care of you when you get a cold? You know, it's like, no, they're not going to be around, like, you know, serving you soup and making sure you have everything. So the same thing, like, even though we might be concerned with, you know, how we look or what other people think, it's kind of about, well, you know, you got to take care of yourself, you know, like, you come first. And I was talking to Mike Bruni, who does a lot of the network conferencing content. And he was saying, you know, he kind of put it this way, is that, you know, connecting with other people, which is what he does and what we're all looking forward to doing, connecting with people is really fantastic. But connecting to yourself is where it all begins. And really, really getting grounded. And here's what it is. It's having that foundation, having that core in place, so that as your environment is changing or new things are coming in, you have something to come back to. Because that's the experience of me. Obviously, my environment is changing very frequently or much more rapidly than most people. And so for me, it's what's the constant? You know, what are the guiding principles? And for anyone, it's, you know, what's going to guide them through these days and help them show up in the way that they know they can.
Right. So, Nathan, I'm wondering about the energetic component. You've talked about food and nutrition and a little exercise and sleep. But one of the most challenging things for people at a conference like this oftentimes is just energetically. There are many creatives at this conference and, you know, writers and bloggers. Oftentimes we're in positions where we spend a good chunk of our day by ourselves in the type of work, just by the very nature of the type of work we do. And then suddenly you're thrust in an environment with 1,000 people and everybody wants to meet and talk. How do you deal with that?
It is possibly one of the most challenging, because there is this energy of definitely wanting to meet everyone and, you know, wanting to have conversations. I think it's, again, you know, kind of looking at knowing it's okay not to meet everyone, because everybody is thinking the same thing. Everybody wants to meet everyone else. And so, you know, and I just mentioned Mike, he could probably talk to this a lot more, but it's, I think, really about establishing genuine connections with, you know, maybe a handful of people. And then you have the rest of the year, the rest of your life to connect with these people and really going where the energy is. You know, do you find that you've, you know, landed in a meetup or a session and you see the same person, you know, you see the same person there, and it's like, well, geez, maybe I'd like to go over and have a conversation with this person. Just being selective, you know, kind of for your own good, not like in an elitist way, but more, you know, if I attempt to meet everybody, if I attempt to, you know, have every conversation I want to, I'm going to burn myself out. And so just looking at, well, you know, setting a goal for yourself, and depending on how social you are, it's going to be different, but, you know, it might be like, hey, I want to have, you know, 3 really good conversations today. You know, really, really connect with 3 people, or maybe you want to make that 5, or, you know, whatever. Because, I mean, I've been to plenty of events where, you know, people are just handing out business cards left or right, and obviously that's not how it works. It's so much more about, you know, showing up, being present, being passionate and enthusiastic about what you're doing, and being able to demonstrate that enthusiasm and energy for you know, the person you're talking to. And again, everything we've discussed will contribute to that experience. You know, if you're off your game, if you're only feeling 50%, that's going to be present when you're meeting other people. I continue to work on this. If you're in a room and, you know, you're kind of waiting, you know, looking for who else is coming in or who else do I want to talk to as you're talking to someone, you know, we are smart creatures. We pick up on that stuff. We pick up on body language. I mean, you know, what I do, I get distracted very easily. I don't have ADD, but I just get distracted easily, whether there's a TV on in the room or a lot of people coming in or out. And so what I really try to do is position myself so that, you know, the person I'm talking to is the only person in my kind of line of sight. You know, so if I need to put my back to the door or, you know, the rest of the room as I'm having a conversation, that's what I do so that I can focus on this person and what they're talking to me about.
All right, so that you're present.
Absolutely.
At a sort of energetic level. So funny that you mentioned Mike, because Mike was actually the very first person that I met at WDS last year. We were both staying at the same hotel. We were over at the Hotel Madeira, and you know, I was in the lobby, and here's this guy with the bow tie, and I was like, that guy's got to be here for WDS. I just, you know, went up and introduced myself. Hey, how's it going? Are you here for WDS? Oh, sure. You know, I'm Greg. I'm Mike. Blah blah blah. And you know, at the time, it wasn't sort of like, hey, this guy's famous. I want to talk to this guy. This guy's a well-known blogger. Well-known. I didn't know anything about Mike. That he was Ambassador Broody, you know, what he was doing, hashtags, the handshakes, any of Mike's work. But just, you know, got to know Mike, the guy, super cool guy. And he and my wife and I walked over to the conference every day together and just, you know, got to know each other a little bit. And then over the course of the year since then have talked, and Mike's been a guest on my radio show, and just, it was very organic. You know, learning about Mike and his work. And you really, you know, you mentioned that. I think that that's just so crucial in a conference setting like this. Like, yeah, it's cool if you want to go say hi and, you know, there's some person that you've read their blog for 3 years and you want to thank them or, you know, whatever, introduce yourself. But, you know, let those things happen organically.
Right. Because, you know, I mean, there's a few things. I think I need to make some notes so I don't forget any of the ideas that popped up while you were talking. Is that, I mean, first of all, you mentioned that word organic. And that's a big key for me. It's like, you know, what's happening organically versus what am I trying to force happen? You know, you mentioned, like, you know, bloggers you love and you follow their work, and maybe on some part, you know, some part, at least I've experienced this, you know, it's like, oh, I'd really love to do a guest post for them, or I'd really love to be friends with them or hang out with them. Well, maybe that's not in the cards. You know, you might have a perfect idea of, you know, what the day is going to look like, but then life happens, or they have other ideas, or they have people they want to meet. And you know, I find, you know, if I'm hyper-focused on one thing, I may miss the other great opportunities that are showing up right at my door, you know, because I'm just not paying attention to that stuff. And so, you know, just being present with, you know, who is coming up and I want to circle back around to kind of on the energy level, like positivity and thoughts and things like that. But what I want to mention is, you know, I'm hosting a few events myself, just kind of, you know, meet up things. You know, one is like a healthy lunch on Friday of the conference, and it's at you know, Healthy Eats at this restaurant called Dick's Kitchen. And I went to Dick's last year. They have a couple locations, and, you know, interviewed the owner, really great guy and really fantastic food. You know, they locally sourced and really conscious practices. And so, you know, it was from that place, you know, doing things that are authentic to who you are. You know, that's really what it's about. So for me, it was like, yeah, I'd really love, like, I love going to this restaurant anyway. And let me put it out there to see if other people might be interested in going to this kind of restaurant too. And I've had a bunch of people respond, and so it's like, okay, cool. These are my people. As Seth Godin would say, you know, this is my tribe.
Exactly.
And now I think the majority of the people that have said, you know, they want to come, I have no idea who they are. Never heard of them, never met them. And it's exciting because, you know, what cool new friendships are going to come out of that? So, I mean, there's a healthy eats thing on Friday afternoon. And then I've also put together, you know, wanting to do group meditation because I know how important meditation has been in my life. I want to, you know, create that space for other people, especially in this crazy, awesome conference setting, to have some quiet time for introspection and just, you know, listening to yourself and, you know, refocusing, readjusting, recalibrating. And so, you know, just figuring out, you know, where we're going to do that in the day so that it makes sense for everybody. And, of course, like people who have never done meditation are totally welcome to this too because, you know, you don't need to have studied meditation and just start doing it. I mean, here's the big key, you know. You close your eyes and focus on your breath. That's it, you know. Like, so, and you can start with whatever amount you want. Like I said, I started with 2 minutes and it was torture, but I moved along. Eventually I got some more. So, you know, I'm doing a couple events that were, you know, I felt authentic to me. I'm not trying to create like what's going to be the perfect event that everybody wants to go to, as opposed to, well, what's going to be something I'm excited about and I'm excited to share with other people. And then also understanding, like, you know, I wouldn't want 500 people to come to these things or 1,000 because then that's just too crazy. It's unmanageable. You can't, it's more difficult to have genuine conversations and just see who naturally shows up to these things. So, I mean, of course I want to extend to anybody they want to attend these events. I'd be thrilled to meet and hang out and talk more about this stuff, and see what relationships, happen organically. Now, coming back to the energy thing, as I mentioned at the top, you know, traveling is so much a mental game. And like I said, if I didn't have some of the things in my life and some of the people in my life, I probably would have gone insane a long time ago, you know, because it's just, there is so much on the road that can get to you, where you're just like, you know, why am I sleeping in a horse barn tonight, which actually happened like a week ago. Or, you know, why am I doing this? Or, you know, what's this all about or whatever. And so, you know, really finding ways to, as the phrase goes, incline your mind to joy, you know, to find the, you know, to focus on the positive things in your life, you know, what you're grateful for, what, you know, what's beautiful, what's going on, you know, I mean, in a state like Oregon and, you know, in Portland specifically, I mean, there's so much natural beauty around. You don't have to go far to look around and be like, my God, look at, you know, Mount Hood or, you know, Washington Park or what's the other, can't think of the name escaping. There's like in the Southeast, there's a park right there, Mount Tabor, you know, like these gorgeous areas and the flowers and the people and the food and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, finding ways to focus on, you know, what you're grateful for and what's going well, I think are really key and often overlooked. And so, you know, the more positivity, the more enthusiasm, that you can bring, you know, to yourself, to your own experience, that is just going to radiate out. And it's, you know, and that's, I always felt that, you know, passion, you know, if you truly have that going on, it's undeniable, you know, and people like a moth to a flame, they're just going to be drawn to you. You know, if you're really energized about, you know, what you're doing or who you are, or, you know, showing up as, you know, like, I think Mike is a great example. Hopefully, I hope his ears are burning. You know, we've been talking about him so much. But, I mean,
I think Mike will be listening to the recording of this call.
He just has a tremendous amount of just natural energy and enthusiasm. And, you know, you can't help but kind of lean in and want to hear more about what he's up to. And
absolutely.
And so, you know, the more you can cultivate that yourself, it's just going to dramatically impact your relationships and all this stuff, yeah.
Right. So, Nathan, I've got another travel-related question for you. Last year at WDS, I was actually sick, quite sick, in fact, and I rarely get sick. And the reason that I was sick is I had another conference literally the weekend before it was a work conference for a client of mine, sort of a paying gig, and I obviously didn't take well enough care of myself. And by time I got to Portland, I was in a bad way. And so I had an amazing experience at the conference, but the only way I was able to do that, I basically, I normally eschew pharmaceuticals, you know, sort of the drugstore type things. I tend to go down the holistic path. And so, but I drugged up. I was on DayQuil, NyQuil, whatever else, just to make it through the conference. And it was it was tough. And that's because I hadn't really, you know, done the taking care of myself the previous weekend, and I'm not quite sure how that happened because, as I said, I really get sick. So do you have any tips for people in staying healthy in that way, you know, when they're in a situation like that, when they're conference, you know, you're shaking hands with a lot of people, you're around people. If you know, if one person's coughing in a vicinity of a whole bunch of other people, do you have any tips for that?
Well, I mean, you know, once you're sick, you're sick, you know, and it's like a virus, you know, you got to let it run its course, and there's nothing you can do. You know, I kind of practice the same thing. I'm really not big on, you know, taking medicine and trying to find just kind of natural ways to cure myself. But if you just feel like you need to do something, and, you know, you want to take some, you know, ibuprofen or whatever to get through something, that's great. But it's again, listening to your body. You know, if you wake up and you're like, I do not have the energy. When I stand up, I feel lightheaded. That's your body letting you know, what to do. And if you try to fight it, you're going to lose, you know, or you're going to pay for it at some point. You know, I would say, or, you know, I would encourage people, like, if they are taking a lot of medicine or whatever, just kind of get through an experience. Once that period is over, 2 or 3 days, just kind of, you know, just, you almost want to go into like a detox state, you know, just really, you know, let that stuff get through your system. And here's another thing. Well, when I was in South Carolina recently, I had a night where I didn't have anywhere to stay. I had something lined up, and then the guy bailed on me, and I literally crashed in hotel lobbies all night, got maybe an hour of sleep. And one of my, you know, actual concerns was, am I going to get sick? Now, I don't really get sick days, you know, on the, you know, on the plan I'm on, you know, which is no plan.
Yeah, there's no employer to give you that free pass.
Yeah, and mom, God love her, will take care of me, but not when I'm, you know, 18 states away. You know, she can't bring me soup. So, you know, what I did, I focused on, well, what are the things that I know that I can do? And so, you know, when I could, I went over to a Starbucks, and like, I went inside, and I think I got some tea, and I did a meditation. I did 30 minutes of meditation. I thought I was going to just pass out and fall asleep during the meditation, but that didn't happen. And then I focused on getting really good food, you know, and, you know, finding, you know, the health food stores, and so doing everything I could to really help my body. So whether that's going to be, you know, just extra rest, or, you know, really high quality foods, or, you know, maybe some supplements, or, you know, meditation. Again, like, if one thing, if, you know, if your energy levels are down, it's recognizing that, you know, not feeling like, okay, I got to be Superman and show up and do everything. And then also being honest, you know, like, just showing up, being authentic, and letting people know, like, hey, I'm a little under the weather, and, you know, or, you know, whatever. And telling people, like, hey, I'm just fighting something right now, and, you know, not going to shake your hand, but not personal. And no worries, you know, and people aren't going to take it.
That's what I did last year. I was afraid of getting Bruni sick.
Yeah, okay, so yeah.
You know, riding in the elevator like, all right, Mike, I want to shake your hand, but no, I'm not going to do it.
I mean, and I think for the most part, you know, people are you know, fairly healthy. I mean, it's really about, you know, how you're training your immune system. You know, if you're George Carlin, in reference to, you know, I think the political system, he was saying, you know, garbage in, garbage out. But of course, that's kind of the same thing for our bodies. You know, if you're only putting in, you know, all the bad stuff or all the, you know, negative things, then that's kind of the experience you're going to have showing up. But if you're pumping in, you know, the good quality stuff, that's what you're going to have. And I think, you know, you might be more resistant to, you know, you'll have a stronger immune system, you'll be more resistant to the casual things. I mean, I rarely get sick. You know, I can't even remember. I mean, maybe I'll have like a sniffle every now and then, but the reason I get headaches now, I find, is if I have a little too much sugar, you know, because I've kind of cut that out of my system. If I, you know, and I wrestle with Nutella, it's like, you know, my kryptonite. you know, I'll have one spoonful, and then I'm like, oh, that was pretty good. And I have like another, and then another. And after three, I'm like, Nathan, stop. Like, you just close the lid. And I found, like, my body reacts that, you know, I get these headaches. And so it's like checking in, going, huh, I wonder if that's something to do with all of the sugar I took in last night. So let me not do that again, or let me do that to a smaller degree. So just, you know, paying attention to what you're doing so that you can prep yourself and have a really strong system going in. But of course, if you get sick, you know, just listen. And if you have to miss a day of the conference because you're staying in bed, you know, not the end of the world. You know, the planet is still going to revolve, and you still get to interact with all these people because you have that shared experience. You know, you were there. Maybe you didn't see the, you know, you weren't there at 4:17 on Saturday to see whatever happened, but you know, you were still part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, the kryptonite last year was, I'm the same way. I normally don't eat processed sugars, but, you know, periodically I'll have a dessert or something. And for me last year, it was the Voodoo Donuts food truck at the after party. It's like, you know,
yeah.
I'm going to have one of those. I'm not going to feel guilty about it. It's all good. They look amazing. I'm only in Portland once a year here. I'm going to have a Voodoo Donut, and it was amazing.
Well, cool.
And it didn't make me sick, thankfully. So it all was good.
Well, see, you know, and a lot of people, I think, you know, Portland is one place known for, you know, some of its crazy food items. So, you know, what I encourage people is, you know, in this country, our portion sizes are ridiculous. I mean, and most of the restaurants out there aren't helping. So, you know, even when you go to like healthy places, sometimes it's a lot of food. So number one, if you're going out to eat in Portland or wherever, you know, it's great to, you know, a great tip would be to have them box up what you're going to eat before they even serve it to you. So, you know, they serve you half, and then you can bring the other half to your hotel room or the hostel or wherever you're staying. Or, you know, split meals. Like, even with the Voodoo Donuts, I've actually never had one, even with all the time I've been in Portland. But if I were to have one, I would probably split that with someone. So it's like, you know what, I don't know that my body or I need an entire donut. This is me personally.
And they're rather large donuts.
Yeah, but maybe I'll take like a quarter of a donut or half a, you know, maybe I'll, you know, if I really like it and, you know, I'm really enjoying it and I haven't had sugar in weeks, maybe I'll do half a donut or whatever. So it's again, not being rigidly inflexible. It's not being like, oh no, I never have sugar. You know, I can't have sugar. If I eat sugar, I'm going to, you know, balloon up 400 pounds. It's like, you know what, if you really want to have a taste of a donut, have a taste and you know, enjoy it and then get back to what you know you need to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good strategy.
I mean, it's again the phrase consistency versus intensity. You know, you cannot just be sedentary and then, you know, once a week work out for 2 hours and expect amazing results. You know, you can't be sitting at home eating a bag of Doritos and pizza, and then, you know, every Saturday you go do 2 hours of cardio and expect to, you know, look like some kind of bodybuilder. It's just not going to happen. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing with just everyday experience. You know, I'm not looking to be a bodybuilder. I'm not looking to, you know, I'm not an Ironman, or I'm not training for anything. What I'm training for really is life. You know, that's really what it is. I'm just here to show up and bring myself fully and, you know, reach my potential. And these are the things, these are the tools that I really believe will help me get there. And, you know, not only help me get there, but are allowing me to show up in a way that I want consistently day after day after day.
Right. So is there any, Nathan, is there any gain to be had by setting up maybe some sort of accountability system to having other people sort of keeping you accountable, or is that something best to do for yourself with any sort of healthy habits that you're trying to maintain while you're on the road?
Yeah, I think, whatever system or structure works for you, I have used a lot of accountability tools in the past. CreateNewHabits.com, I think that's one out there where you can just, you know, literally you log in for free, and then you can assign like whatever my habit's going to be, and then every day you do them, you check it off. And so you can see the streak that you're building. But even if it's going to be just like a simple, you know, Google Doc or whatever, you know, share that with people. Put it on your website if you got one. Put, you know, share it with your family or with your friends. Here's the important part. Share it with people who you know are going to be supportive. That's the big thing. Because if you're looking to, you know, maybe change something about, you know, your eating habits or your exercise, it's not going to do you any good to share it with people who are going to just try to tear you down or be negative or question why you're doing this. You know, share it with people who are really supportive and excited for you to, you know, improve and develop your life and cultivate your life. So I think any way you can do that, and I'm sure there are even apps out there to help people, you know, stay on top of this stuff. But, you know, even if you want to just have a piece of paper and a pen in your pocket or a little notebook that every day you just mark down, you know, what it is. And it doesn't have to be 15 items. You know, really, like, just pick – I mean, here's a great little tool. I just call it one thing. You know, what is the number one thing that if you started doing, you made a habit, would have the greatest positive impact to your life? And, you know, is it meditation? Is it eating, you know, more greens? Is it, you know, practicing gratitude? Is it, you know, spending time with your loved ones? What's going to be the number one practice? And then put that into practice. Start with something laughably small, an amount that is laughably small that you know you can commit to begin with. And then,
like you said, with your 3 minutes of meditation a day.
Exactly. I mean, when I've worked with people in the past, I'll say, can you commit to 30 seconds? You know, really make it ridiculous, because that's the point. You know, you want it. We're literally wired to, you know, resist change. So you want to get around that system by doing something that won't set off the brain's alarms. So, you know, what is the most positive impact that you can make? And if you want to push yourself even more, what's the number one thing that you need to stop doing that will have the greatest positive impact? So, you know, if you look at those two things and just keep track of that, you know, like just commit to those things. Because, you know, if you try to start new habits when you travel, it can be really challenging. So obviously the work begins now. It begins today before you go anywhere.
Much harder if you try to start those things at WDS.
Exactly. You know, like if you're like, okay, I'm going to get up and meditate for a half an hour and you've never done that. And, you know, the day is already long enough, it's going to be very easy to be like, you know what, I don't have the energy and, forget, you know, maybe I'll find some time later. And that's not going to happen. It's about making these commitments non-negotiable, you know, 100%. And I have certain non-negotiable commitments in my life, and others have a little more flexibility, but, you know, it's really, you're not proving it to anyone else. This is just for you. So, with that, I think that's a good amount of information. We have covered a lot, Greg. I had a lot of fun on this call. Thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. Yeah, no problem, Nathan. That was great. Definitely, you're an excellent source of a wide variety of information on staying healthy. And so, Nathan, if people have questions of you, is there a way to reach you so that people could maybe if they want to email you a question or can they find you on Twitter or Facebook? How do they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the website is nonstopawesomeness.com. My email is Nathan.Agin, A-G-I-N, @gmail.com, Nathan.Agin@gmail.com. Facebook is facebook.com/nonstopawesomeness, and Twitter is @NathanAgin. So any and all of those methods, you can hit me up. Actually, today I just put out a post on my site saying, go ahead, ask me anything. So, you know, basically, if you have a question about any of the stuff I'm up to or anything we talked about on this call, feel free to let me know. And yeah, I'll either, you know, respond directly or put that together for the post. But, you know, especially with the WDS crowd, because I'm one of you guys and I love you, really want to help and support everyone. So yeah, that's it. So again, thank you very much to Greg. Really appreciate you being here, and hope you guys enjoyed this, got something out of it. Feel free to let me know what you thought. Stay connected, and I will see you at WDS. Take care.